Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the names Al-Qawiyyul Mateen. Al-Qawiyyul Mateen. Al-Qawiyyul Mateen are two attributive names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Quran, the two names have been mentioned together. And so that is why, inshaAllah, in this session, as we explain, these two names will also be explained together because there is a connection with the two names. Al-Qawiyyul Mateen, there is a connection. The first name is Al-Qawiyyu. That is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Qawi in the Arabic language means someone who is strong. So Al-Qawiyyu, when translated in English, would mean that Allah is the most strong. Allah is the most powerful, the most strong. And mateen means firmness in strength. As in, there is no possibility of weakness at any time. There is no possibility of weakness at any time. That is the meaning of mateen. In this world that we live in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything. There are many things which are very strong and solid. But what we see is that the strength is there only subject to time and for a period of time only. You might have the world's strongest man in front of you, pushing a truck. The strongest man in the world. But subhanallah, he can become weak by a simple toothache or a headache. And all the strength has vanished. It's gone. Why? There is pain in the mouth. The tooth is hurting. He has fever, for an example. So that strength is not there. You might find mega structures, buildings that are made out of solid bricks and stones and metal and iron and everything that is there. A person might admire the building that it's impregnable, it's solid. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to flatten it, it's done very easily by an earthquake, tsunami, everything comes down. That power, that strength is not there. And of course in history we've seen Titanic, the unsinkable ship. The unsinkable ship. These are very dangerous statements and sayings which people say, not realizing that you are challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this kind of arrogance Allah does not like. The unsinkable ship, the unsinkable ship. And what happened? It went down. It went down. Subhanallah. So everything has to come to an end. Even if it is there for a long period of time, but then finally death will take it out. You've seen great empires who took great pride in their strength, powerful armies. Subhanallah, the Persian army, the Roman army, and all sorts that have come and gone, finished, khatam ho gayi baat. You have this very strong lorry or a tractor that is in front of you, that is made out of solid steel, that can crush anything. But maybe, I'm not a mechanic, but a little pipe or something that controls everything is broken. And everything is now not working. There is no function to it. Solid steel, but one pipe or one wire has been cut off for some reason, and it's not going to work now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing Himself, that power I have given you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi. He is the most strong. And in case somebody might think, like in dunya, it is subject to a period of time or for some reason or to an incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, I am al-qawi al-mateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no possibility of weakness for Him. There is no possibility of weakness. And how is Allah strong? Not in the physical way that we know. That is also in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only He knows. His strength is something else. Do we not see in the Quran, in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ إِنسَانِ, have you not seen on top of you, صَافَاتٍ وَيَقْبِدٍ, have you not seen the birds that are flying? صَافَات, they are flying on top of you. So many birds. And they are flying with the wings open, and they are also suspended up in the air, وَيَقْبِدٍ, when the wings are closed. For some the wings are open, for some the wings are closed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who is giving them the permission to fly on top of you and to be suspended up in the air? Who is holding them there? As a human being, can we try to fly? Who is holding him there? Who is holding the birds? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَانِ, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding them up. We may say because of wings and this and that and air and wind and whatever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, forget all that. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَانِ. It is Rahman that is allowing them to fly on top of you. And so the birds that we see is a reminder to all of humanity of this dunya that we live in. This dunya is also swimming in its orbit. This dunya is also spinning round. But look at the control. Subhanallah. Everything that is in this dunya, but the earth is moving. The earth is moving. We can't feel it. We can do whatever we want, but the earth is moving. Night and day. When the earth turns away from the sun, it's night. Then again, when it goes round and it faces the sun, that is day. It is moving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, are there wings? on this earth that it is suspended and it is on top. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ. You know, have a look. ثُمَّ رْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ. Look again. Do you see any beams that are there? Do you see any pillars that are there? Pillars and beams. Can you see anything with the technology that you have? Advanced technology human beings have. Ibrahim Bhai was just telling me today. He said he read in the newspaper an article that they have found this star which is with this satellite, which is, wallahu alam, I have not read, but it is so fast at the speed of light, it would take that satellite 30,000 years to get there. 30,000 years to get there. Imagine the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with what they have now, it's 60,000 years. 60,000 years, Allahu Akbar. And not only is the earth moving, but also the sun is also doing the tasbih. The sun is also moving. That is doing the tasbih of Allah. And imagine the distance, how Allah has kept the balance. If we are too close to the sun, by everything would be roasted. This would become Jahannam. And if we are too far, everything would be very, very cold. But the right balance, heat and cold, beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that I am al-qawi and I am al-mateen. I am al-qawiyul mateen. The most strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need al-yazu billah like human beings to be there. A man might be holding, you know, a stone, something that weighs a lot. So he has to physically go there and hold it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah. His qudrat is ajeeb. And we recognize him by his attributes. That he is the most strong. Al-Qawi. And there is no possibility of weakness. Not at all. And so that is why, my respected brothers and elders, when a person connects himself to that Allah who is the most powerful, the most strong, the most strong, and a person's iman comes to that level, then he does not fear anyone. Then there is no fear. Why? Because he knows that his ta'alluq, his connection is with Al-Qawiyul Mateen. His ta'alluq is with who? Al-Qawiyul Mateen. One of the reasons what we see is that Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam do a lot of things that are of a miraculous nature. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited in everything. And so their spirituality is so high. Because their connection is with Al-Qawi Al-Mateen, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that there are no obstacles, because there is no obstacle for Allah. And they connect themselves with the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this dunya that we live in, there are other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are more powerful. The jinn is more powerful. The jinn is more powerful. There are certain animals that can see much further than what a human being can ever see. Certain animals can see much further. Deep down in the ocean, they can see everything what is there. And they are flying on top. The birds are flying on top and they can see what is down. The eye is very sharp. For some animals, the hearing is very sharp. Subhanallah. Many animals eat much more than human beings. They drink much more than insan. Much more than insan. Subhanallah. Many animals are much faster in speed than human beings. And so all of these qualities, you will see that even animals are more powerful than insan. But what makes insan very powerful, my respected brothers, what makes him very powerful is what we call in Urdu, it's called ruhaniyat. What is it? It's called ruhaniyat. And the word ruhaniyat comes from the word ruh. Where does it come from? Ruh. Ruh means that ruh which is keeping you alive. In English, spirituality. Your spirituality. When a person becomes muttaqi and he does not commit sins and he is 100% obedient to his master who is Allah, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door for him which have no obstacles, no restrictions, because he is al-qawi, he is connecting with al-qawiyul mateen. He is connecting with al-qawiyul mateen. And so he becomes very, very powerful. That is why you'll find some of the awliyaullah, they have this ability of karamats. What is it? Karamats. That is there because of how they are. They stay away from gunas, from sins. And they are totally connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-qawiyul mateen. But there is one thing that Allah has given insan, which is spirituality. And because of spirituality, insan has this lofty status. This lofty status, this great maqam. The first step to this spirituality is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That is the first step. If you don't take this step, there is no beginning. You can't start. The starter is for you is that you have to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then you see, mashallah. Once you have said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that connection is there, then it is up to this person. It is up to this person. He can go as far as he wants. As far as he wants. It is up to him how he wants to live. How he wants to live. If he can take control of himself. There is this very, very beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I was looking for and I found, alhamdulillah, it is in Sunan Tirmidhi. And so I want to read this hadith in front of you so that, mashallah, we understand the topic thoroughly and properly. And this is in Kitab al-Tafsir of Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayhi's masterpiece work, Sunan Tirmizi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, welcome, welcome to Masjid Umar. MashaAllah. Thank you. Ghulam, you can bring the chair forward. Are you okay? Okay, fine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in, this is a hadith Qudsi, and so as in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, and it is in the Sunan of Imam Tirmizi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna Allah ta'ala lamma khalaq al-ard, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth, ja'ala tamid, the earth started shaking. So when Allah created the earth started shaking, started moving around, shaking. Now when you see something shaking. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put mountains on this earth so that it stops shaking. Brother, can you switch off your mobile phone please? Jazakallah. Switch it off. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal jibala awtada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on this earth what we call nails. What is it? Nails. Awtad in the Arabic language means like a peg nail. Nail. So take the mountains. The mountains are like nails. So the earth was moving here, the earth was moving there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to put the balance, put the mountains in different locations. Here, there, here, here. Enough for human beings to carry on with what they need to do, but also to make this world more scenic and more beautiful. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He would have just given His own order and command and say, stop shaking, and it was enough. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in everything, one must also look at reason and logic in a sense where a human being can benefit. So this is where the doors of science also open up. So the mountains have been put on like nails and it stopped shaking. فَعَجِبَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ And the angels were looking at this, everything. And so you have this brand new creation of Adam alayhi salam. You know, who is this Adam? The first man created. Who is he? The angels were looking. Now what a different kind of creature he is. A very different creation. Made out of this earthly material. And so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in front of them this dunya, this earth and huge mountains. فَعَجِبَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ The angels were surprised. And so the malaika said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَخَلَقْتَ مَا هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ O Allah, have you created something that is even more powerful than the mountains? Something that is even more powerful than the mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Naam, yes. Al-Hadid. Allah said, Al-Hadid. What is Hadid? Iron. Metal. Iron. Metal. Which is even more stronger than the mountains. Brothers who've been to Makkah Mukarramah, the city of Makkah, you've seen tunnels. You've seen tunnels? And if you look at how the tunnels were made, Subhanallah, it's through this crane and metal that is spinning round and cutting through. It's going all the way through. Ajib. So, iron and metal. And so the angels are now in communication with Allah. And said, أَخَلَقْتَ مَا هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْحَدِيدِ Ya Allah, have you created something that is even more stronger than iron and metal? And Allah said, Naam. An-nar, fire. What is it? Fire. Fire can also bend something that is as hard as an iron or a metal. Can bend it. Fire. And so then they said, the angel said, أَخَلَقْتَ مَا هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنَ النَّارِ Have you created something which is more powerful than even fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes. Al-hawa, the winds. Al-hawa, the winds. The winds are very powerful. You see the waves that come along. Imagine if human beings were to take control of the waves. What technology we would need just to come up with one wave the way it is coming. Allahu Akbar. The waves, the giant waves that are there. Have you seen the giant waves? Go to Portugal and you'll see there. Subhanallah. That's where people go for surfing. And there is a special area there where you get giant waves in Portugal. And when you look at it, you say, Subhanallah, how Allah has created this world. How Allah has created everything that is around us. How can a man be so blind? Allahu Akbar, there was one button that was missing from my kurta here. And I started thinking that even something as little as a button that is here, it is there for a purpose. It is there for a purpose. Then this beautiful world, the night and the day and this balance and this earth moving and swimming and spinning in its orbit and the sun going round and everything and the stars, everything that is connected, Who is the creator? If everything is the creation, then there has to be the creator. If you see a picture, then there has to be an artist. There has to be an artist. There is a design, but then who has designed this? Where is the designer? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the winds. Now, remember I said that, I'll explain this later on. Then the angel said, أَخَلَقْتَ مَا هُوَ Ashaddu min al-hawa, Ya Allah, is there something that is even more strong than the winds that you have created? The winds that you have created. The winds can destroy everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes. Imagine, something that is more powerful than the mountains, something that is more powerful than iron metal, something that is more powerful than fire, something that is more powerful than water, something that is more powerful than the winds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Na'am, Ibn Adam, the son of Adam. This human being is very powerful when تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. The spirituality of this human being is very, very powerful. And one thing has been mentioned here, one thing only, that when he is going to give charity, when he gives charity, he does not give charity to show people. So that somebody says, oh, that so and so person has given so much money. In the hadith, it is mentioned that when he gives it in such a way, فَأَخْفَاهَا, that if he has given with his right hand, even the left hand does not know the amount that he has given. That is the power, and this is what we call spirituality. So the spirituality of a human being is very, very powerful. And what we call self-control, what is it? Self-control. Subhanallah. This is something that we need to understand. That is why the messengers, the prophets that came, they were extremely powerful. Very powerful. Why? Because their level of spirituality was very, very high. Very high. Subhanallah. And that is why they showed people what we call mu'jizat. Mu'jizat means miracles. Because they were in direct connection with that Allah whose attributes are Al-Qawiyul Mateen. He is the most strong, and he is so strong that there is no limit. He has the full control. There is no possibility of weakness when it comes to the description of God Almighty. A human being can fail. He gets old, he becomes weak. He was strong when he was young. Football players, they play, and then after a bit, then they want to become coaches. What do they become? A coach. They retire. Now they can't. Why? That strength is taken away. Old age comes, you are no longer strong. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing changes. Nothing changes. That is why we see so many examples in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of King Solomon. King Sulaiman. King Sulaiman. By Sulaiman alayhi salam was a Nabi and a king. And so, when he was the great king, information was given to him that there is a lady in the region of Sana, and that lady and her people are worshipping the sun. Worshipping the... So he found that to be very strange. How is it that a nation, a group of people can worship the sun when the sun is the creation of God Almighty? And why don't they worship that which is behind the sun? That which is behind the sun, as in the creator of this sun. So he invited this lady. He invited this lady that she must come and she must meet Sulaiman alayhi salam. It's a long story, all of you are aware of this. Very quickly, just to explain to you. So Sulaiman alayhi salam said, I am giving an invitation to this woman to come, and I will explain to her that, look, I am your well-wisher, and you should not worship that which is the creation of Allah, but rather you should worship the Creator. And so he said to the people that were there that she is on her way and she is coming. Now, this lady, the queen of Saba, there was this huge castle that was made for her, and in the castle there was 365 windows. How many windows? 365 windows. And because she would worship the sun, so she would want to see at every angle how the sun would set and how the sun would rise. So she did not want to miss any angle of that sun. And so from every window she could see the sun clearly, because they were worshipping the sun. And the Quran says, for this woman there was this great arsh, this huge, huge arsh, very big arsh. And some have even said like a castle, huge arsh. And so the Quran says, أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِ بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. There was an audience in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he said, look, do me a favor. Before I give this woman the invitation to worship one God, one Allah, let me impress her also, so that she must know who we are, as we are the prophets and the messengers of Allah. So he said to the people that were sitting in front of him, the audience, that who can bring the throne of this woman to me here right now? So the jinns that were there, this jinn said, Hazrat, no problem. I will bring the throne before you stand up. Hazrat Sulaiman said, that is very slow. What is it?
Very slow.
Oh ho, bhai. Where are you going? You will bring the throne only when I stand up. So the jinn went quiet. Imagine the power that Allah gives to Anbiya, because of their spirituality. And these things were due to the great powers that Allah had given to Sulaiman alayhi salam. It was their mu'ajiza. Now amongst them, the jinns were there. On one side there were scholars that were sitting, and there was this great sheikh, and this sheikh knew the knowledge of Ism-i-Azam. And Ism-i-Azam means certain attributes and names of Allah that when you read them in a sequence, and then when you make any supplication, your du'as are accepted immediately, your prayers are accepted immediately. That is the power in the names and attributes of Allah. So this man who was sitting there, he said, Hazrat, worry not. If you allow me, by your second blink, it will be here. By your second blink. By your second blink, it will be here. As Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was about to say something, this man by Ism-i-Azam got the throne in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now this is what we call spirituality. There are no obstacles. What is it? Because the connection is not made with things that are man-made. The connection is then made with that Allah who has no limits. No limits whatsoever. So that is why, subhanAllah, and then the story goes, and brothers know of it, subhanAllah, it will take a long time. In fact, we might have covered this. And then when we look at the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look at his level of spirituality. One portion of the night, it takes him to go to Masjid Aqsa, and then seven heavens, and he goes on top and he sees Jannat, Jahannam, communication with Bari Ta'ala. The guest of honor was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the galaxy of the prophets, no one has been given this hospitality that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that in his lifetime, not only dunya was shown to him, but also the heavens were shown to him. And this is what we call spirituality, that power that was there, that ability to breathe, even whilst you are uplifted, you are going, you can breathe. Otherwise, when a person wants to go up, he needs everything. You can't breathe. As you go up, you know, the air gets tight, it becomes difficult for a person. But that power that was there, that spirituality of a Nabi, that spirituality that took him to that level where even Jibreel alayhi salam said, Hazrat, I have to stop here. That is my boundary. What did he say? This is my boundary. Because a Nabi's connection is Al-Qawi Al-Mateen. Very much with Allah, who is Al-Qawi Al-Mateen. And he said, actually, There is no one spirituality in the creation of Allah that can cross this line except for you. Subhanallah, to bole bhai. Ah, jazakallah khair. MashaAllah. Nobody can cross this except for you. And they, Allah's Nabi, crossed. And the Quran speaks in an ajib way in Surah Najm that what happened there, only that is between Allah and His Messenger. That is between Allah and His Messenger. People stay quiet because nobody goes as far as that. عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى إذ يخشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى. Oh, Allah's Nabi went so far. That is spirituality. A lot of people refuse and reject. What is this spirituality? What is this? Why? Because they themselves are in touch with shaitan, with lust, with desire, with jinns, with impurity, with filth, with music, with pornography. So what will you understand? What will you understand by? You don't understand nothing. But when you are in connection with Allah Al-Quddus, the most pure. Allah who is Al-Quddus, the most pure. Things are very different. You look at things in a very different way. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Isa alayhi salam, the Roman army came and they said, we are going to take him and crucify him and kill him. And Isa alayhi salam went into the room. And then look at his spirituality. Look at his spirituality. He's in the room and the soldiers come to pick him up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni rafi'uka. My Nabi, worry not. Your level of spirituality, your connection with me is al-qawiyul mateen. I am going to lift you up. What I'm going to do? Lift you up. He disappeared. Isa alayhi salam disappeared. Nowhere to be seen. He disappeared. Nobody knows where Isa alayhi salam is. Except for the Qadianis and the Ahmadis. No, seriously, I'm not saying it in a disrespectful manner. It's a fact. Only the Qadianis know where Isa alayhi salam is. And they say he is in Kashmir. Barakallah, baraka. In Kashmir, from all the places where you see Indians are saying Kashmir belonged to us, Pakistanis are saying no, it belongs to us. And so the Ahmadis decided that that is where we will put Isa alayhi salam. Dekhe, Dr. Saab. Samjhe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying he is on top with me. Allah's Nabi had seen him. Allah's Nabi had met him and seen him. And they are clear-cut hadith. Clear-cut hadith. But you see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away guidance, then even if Jibreel Ameen comes, they don't see what is right and what is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Amen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. This connection with these gatherings, connection with ulama, having a connection with ulama, to be in their company, to talk with them. This is very important, not just to come and go. No, to stay in the company. This is very powerful, especially in the time of fitna. Especially in the time of fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Isa alayhi salam was uplifted. And it is said that when he comes, he will come down and the zulfa of Isa alayhi salam will be wet. The zulfa of Isa alayhi salam will be wet. I've explained this before. And the reason why it will be wet is that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam did ghusl. And he came out, and that is the time they were looking for him. So he did not get time to even dry the hair. So the hair were wet. Now imagine how many years, thousands of years, he is on top, and when he comes down, the hair will still be wet. Qudrat of Allah. Qudrat of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the spirituality. But I'm ending now, brothers. Jazakallah, to bear with me. You know, I've got a strict time for Jumu'ah, that this is the time I have to finish, which I can understand. But at least give me a few minutes extra after Maghrib, so inshallah we can understand. Look at the spirituality of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Hazrat Zaid Hazrat Zaid radiyallahu ta'ala an, a young man, as the Amir of an army, and all of the elite companions were under him, and he was only around 20 years of age, and Allah's Nabi decided that the Byzantine frontier with the Muslims, the border that was touching, one side you had the Romans, one side you had the Muslims, the Byzantine people, the soldiers, would always make mischief and cross the borders and make life very difficult for the Muslims that were living around close to the border. And so this was a problem. So Allah's Nabi decided that we are going to send an army, so once and for all, this problem can be sorted. Now Allah's Nabi had arranged everything. He is the Amir. All of you are going to go towards the border there, frontier. And subhanallah, in the interim, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Now Sahaba loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can anybody be in the mood to go and fight when this has happened? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq comes along and he says that, yes, if you remember, Hazrat Usama was given this job mission to go towards the frontier and fight with the Byzantine army. And all of the companions, the elite companions, those that Allah's Nabi had said must go, must also go. And everyone was shocked. They're saying, Amirul Mu'mineen, what are you talking about? Allah's Nabi just passed away. The enemies are waiting for us. That if this most powerful army goes, then Medina is empty. They will come and they will attack the capital of the Islamic Empire. And nothing will be left. What a decision. This was during the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is not the right time to do this. And they were saying, let us delay this, delay this. Hazrat Umar was also saying delay. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Hazrat Umar saying delay? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an said to the companions, I am not going to stop that army which was the niyat and intention of our beloved Nabi to go. And he has said in one narration, even if the dogs, wild dogs, were to come to Medina and eat all of us here, it would make no difference, but I will not go against the desire and the wish of my Nabi. And then he looked at Hazrat Umar and he said, Ajabbarun fil jahiliyyah wa khuwarun fil Islam. You were so strong in jahiliyyah, and Umar, you've become weak in Islam. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an was shaken. And he said, Hazrat, no, this is not what I mean at all. And he said, all of you stand and vacate Medina, and whatever happens, happens only by the will of. This is spirituality. What is it? Spirituality talking. This is not a human body. This is spirituality. Ruhaniyat. He's the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the elite. And he went to Hazrat Usama, the youngest, 20 years old. And he took permission. And he said to him, Usama, I am sending you the cream of the companions. But I ask you, because you are the Amir, when he was the Amir, when he is Amirul Mumineen, he's saying, because you are the Amir, spare me only one man, that at least I have my company, that I can make decisions. I just want you to give me Umar. I want you to give me Umar. Umar was also nominated to go. Give me Umar, if you allow me. So Hazrat Usama said, Hazrat, you are Amirul Mumineen, you can do what you want. He goes, no, I want your permission. So he gave permission, and Hazrat Umar stayed with Hazrat Abu Bakr at that time in Medina Munawwara. When the Muslims went to fight, the Byzantines were shocked that the army must be so huge that if they can come with such a powerful army at the frontier, at the borders, then imagine how many people must there be in Medina. How many people must there be in Medina? And from that time, subhanallah, until the day of Qiyamah, there was never any trouble towards the borders and the frontier. Everything was done and dusted. Allah cast fear in their hearts. Allah cast fear. I mention this, brothers, so we understand the spirituality of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. Now imagine, a man who is at that level, obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much. If Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had ever said that after me, my Khalifa is Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, do you think this man would have nominated himself? Well, it was the nomination of all the people that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq should be the Khalifa, but would he remain in that position? Never. These were not people of this dunya, these were people of the hereafter. Name and fame was nothing for them. They obeyed Allah and His Rasul by the letter. And because of that, they became powerful. They became so powerful, they became the best of the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Thori der ke liye muraqaba kar le. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رحمة الله.